Hi, this is Sukyun Lee, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby.
Everywhere, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
Do you think that the society that you live in is one you ought to rebel against, or do you think you're rebelling against it?
Yes, definitely rebelling against it.
To ride. Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
Till I die.
They will listen to like most music, you know, and that's what we're doing is we're here to alleviate that, you know, get people dancing, help them remember what rock and roll used to be like, and is now, but only in a very few cases.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with my co-host, Adam Pelche, who was not here last week, but Adam, it's good to have you back in the studio.
Dave, I don't want to spread rumors, but I heard there wasn't just another person, there were two other people here
Yes. Replacing
me.
Karen and Serena joined us, and as they said, they needed two people to replace one of you.
Well, I have one thing to say to both of you. I hope you're listening. Thank you very much. It was very fun. And also, Dave, thanks for having me back. Revolution Rock tonight up until 9 o'clock. We're going to be bringing you some great independent and punk rock. On today's episode, you can expect to hear a brand new single from the band The Beths, new material from Love Language, Julie Doran. We're going to be playing a brand new track by Eddie Current's Suppression Ring. I'm joking. We're going to be playing an older track, but there is a new track. I'm teasing Dave here. A new single coming out ahead of a new album release from Tough Age. So Tough Age will be releasing a new album, and this single just recently dropped. It's Give It a Day, so we're going to be playing that. Very excited for that.
Yeah, and also, we should mention, before we mention the next thing we're going to mention...
That's a lot of mentions, but yes.
We are syndicating on several different stations across Canada, and now, starting next week, or perhaps if you are listening now in the area... We will be broadcasting in syndication through CIVL in Abbotsford, BC. I just want to thank them for adding us to their station's schedule and for adding us to syndication.
Thank you, Abbotsford.
And we're also going to be doing a special feature, which we do from time to time, about certain albums we feel are really, really either important or we just really enjoy. We're going to play a full album that's celebrating its 40th anniversary, but as we say, with a twist.
With a twist. And this one is one of the biggest albums to drop in the 1980s. One that really redefined what independent music and what indie music was in general in North America and really across the globe. A band that created a sound that really influenced numerous artists to the point where it's hard to even separate the sound this band originated with from the very label indie rock right now. I'm talking about Athens, Georgia's own REM and their debut album from 1983, Murmur.
Yeah, vastly influential. It was the first in a series of albums where they would slowly build momentum and then eventually break through to the mainstream and have quite a lot of success. But they started out you know, like every indie band, you know, in the underground playing music, but they decided to mix the sounds of post-punk and a little bit of jangly birds-like rock, and also a bit of psychedelia and garage.
That's right, and unlike most other American underground bands at the time who claimed a pedigree from punk, that punk lineage wasn't just for hardcore, it wasn't just Ramones. Their influences ranged from Patti Smith to Television to the Modern Lovers, going back to the Velvet Underground with those 60s iconic artists like the Byrds, for example, and with this post-punk element highly influenced by what was coming out of the UK in the late 70s and early 80s, making a sound unique, unlike anything else that was heard prior to that. REM, I think I could wax poetically about their early years for 2 hours, so I'm going to save all our listeners that. But we will definitely be describing the circumstances around this album, what made it stand out so much from the pack, and also why it remains so relevant to this day, 40 years on. Before we get to that, though, we do have to begin the show with a little bit of sad news, with a passing that just was announced today. Yesterday, the musician Mark Stewart had passed away at the age of 62. And for those who are not aware, he was the lead vocalist for The Pop Group, which was a Bristol-based experimental post-punk group that fused a number of different sounds, funk, world music, jazz, and of course punk rock, in a very experimental sense that was unlike almost anything that came before it. Perhaps the only parallels that could be found at the time was maybe from This Heat and just a few years down the road with The Birthday Party, but otherwise very much unparalleled for the sound coming out of this group and the unique take on lyrics and vocal style that Mark Stewart brought to the group.
So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with a pair of tracks from their debut release, Why, which in itself is a great album. We've played it a lot over the years, and we're going to probably play it a lot more. But right now we're going to feature a pair of tracks, starting off with perhaps what they're best known for, I think, this song. She is Beyond Good and Evil. And turn this one up. We're starting off with music from the Pop Group here on Revolution Rock.
Follow me to values mean nothing to her. She's a girl of a
two tracks there in tribute to
Mark Stewart, yes, of the pop group who passed away yesterday. Still not a lot of information going out about the cause of death, but he did pass away at the age of 62 after a very long career, of course, as we mentioned, best known for that aforementioned group whose tracks we played, but he also had a very long solo career in addition to collaborating with a number of different artists, including Tricky, Massive Attack, Adult, Primal Scream. So rest in peace, and hopefully we'll get some more information about what happened with Mark in the upcoming days. But what I want to do, as always, when I find out a musician who I respect and I admire passes away, is not wallow, but celebrate what they had offered the world, including this fantastic record, Why Change the Game. There really wasn't anything quite like it. preceding its release. As I said, the closest that came to the sound of the pop group was potentially This Heat, and even they didn't go as extreme as this band did, paving the way for so many underground artists and aggressive artists like The Birthday Party and Swans to come thereafter. From Why, from the pop group, we heard two songs, Words Disobey Me and She Is Beyond Good and Evil. So coming up next, we're going to be paying tribute to the 40th anniversary of Murmur by R.E.M., the album that really paved the way for so much indie rock to come thereafter and really helped project the band into its form, where R.E.M. would be arguably the biggest band in the world at one point of their career. But, you know, coming back to 1983, they had very humble beginnings out of this art college town in Athens, Georgia, where there were just four kids who enjoyed punk rock, underground music, and they wanted to do something a little bit different.
Yeah, and really, I think it was Michael Stipe met the guitarist
Peter Buck.
Buck, who was working at a record store, and they had similar music interests, and eventually they were like, "Hey, you want to make some songs, play in a band?" It was really not a planned thing. They didn't think too much about it. They were just like, hey, yeah, let's make some music or something. Let's play in a band.
I remember reading a Spin magazine article with an interview with Michael Stipe. So that takes you back a few years, where he was talking about this meetup that he had with Peter Buck. And unlike all the other kids coming in and out of the record store whose idea of punk was either entrenched in hardcore or a lot of new wave, when he mentioned it, he brought up acts like Patti Smith, New York Dolls, and the Velvet Underground. And that's where he and Buck really started cohering and collaborating. And then eventually the band formed as they brought in members, friends of theirs, and they really just learned to play as they came along, which is amazing because when you hear the musicianship on Murmur, it doesn't sound like amateurs. It sounds like people who have been invested in learning these instruments for years. The growth of this band from a group of kids who really didn't know anything about their instruments into this full-fledged, mystic-sounding record is incredible.
Yeah, and R.E.M. was really unique in a lot of ways, and like I was saying, that they were just trying to do something that they wanted to do, and they wanted to blend all these elements together, and this is how it came out. A lot of the material for Murmur was road-tested. They played it live for quite some time, a lot of it. And so by the time they got to the studio, it was all pretty much worked out. It's that thing where when you're starting out as a band, your first record is pretty much your live set. So that's kind of what it was. But they did experiment a bit with some different instrumentation and stuff in the studio. But they did have a bit of trouble at first. They did sign to IRS Records, which was run by one of the Copelands, Stuart Copeland of the Police's. He had two brothers that were involved in the music industry, and this label would go on to be very, very important. Miles Copeland was the one that ran it. They would have bands like, R.E.M. was a big one.
Yeah.
I think they also had the Go-Go's, and then they had this big hit with the Go-Go's, and anyways.
At one point, they had The Fall as well.
Yeah, so IRS was an amazing label, and you know, they were also starting out around this time, and they helped build this model for independent music along with bands like this, and then, you know, it continued on into the 80s and 90s. But the label wanted them to work with Stephen Haig, who would be known for doing New Order and Susie and the Banshees, and they actually did demo one song, and they really did not work well together. We're actually going to hear that song a little later on. The band despises it, but we're going to hear it, because the internet is a wonderful thing sometimes. We're going to basically play this album in full, made up of live recordings, album cuts, demos, and different mixes of the album that we've come across. And that's what we're going to do. And then we'll talk a little bit more about it. It is, as mentioned, an important album, because before this album, indie rock, alternative rock, those were not terms. People didn't use them. They just called everything kind of under this umbrella college rock.
College rock. They even applied the term progressive rock to so many of these groups. So you would hear like an advert for Echo and the Bunnymen as progressive rock. So, you know, a really bizarre thing. But I feel R.E.M. really became a linchpin for what eventually would be known as indie rock. And as I said, 40 years on, the sound that they had on Murmur still pretty much is your blueprint for what indie rock can be considered. And I will say the strength of the songs themselves, these 12 amazing songs, for me, a bit contentious of a take, I know, but I think track for track, this is the strongest album REM ever put out. And even though they would still have a number of great releases, nothing would quite reach the standing of this one. And, you know, rather than gush about it, maybe we should just play some of the music. Starting off with, we're just going to play Side One, which is going to begin with Radio Free Europe, which was a single released for this. Now, the single itself didn't get great amount of national airplay. It would go on to be kind of a cult success single, but it really was that cool call to arms where if your friend was hearing you play the single or if you had a patch with the name of it, people knew that you knew what was going on about this music. And its elliptical guitar line and very bizarre cryptic lyrics, I think, really helmed and paved the way for what REM would do on the rest of this record. What is Radio Free Europe actually about? It's a great question, and I think a lot of their songs are like abstract paintings. Trying to have an exact meaning to say this means this is not so much the point, it's the impression that these cryptid lyrics and these elliptical compositions leave on you, which is what makes this album so phenomenal feeling. Even, and as much as this may sound a little hokey, even to an extent mystical feeling. But with that said, let's get right into the music with this track, Radio Free Europe, as we celebrate 40 years of Murmur here on Revolution Rock.
cover Travelogue.
For the worst.